Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Warriors at Milwaukee tonight, and talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo, a guy who's always been on the periphery of the Warrior plans, it feels like. And just real quick, Evan, I'm looking at the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line, and we had a caller who called in earlier, and he's like, you guys, if you can get Giannis, you go get Giannis. It's really that simple. And if there is that thought process, and it's partly my thought process too, but I'm looking at the text. The way Giannis plays, he might as well be 35. Steiny, you're peddling this fool's gold. I know you know that Giannis plays a young man's game that would age horribly in the Bay. 925, Jimmy's intangibles may be better for the team. 925, would Giannis be good for the young guys like Jimmy Butler is? 925, that caller was delusional. The chemistry they have right now would not be the same with a midseason trade for Giannis. So
I think that's all fair.
I think it is too. And that's why it's like, yeah, on the one hand, I was like, yeah, you'd have to do it. You would have to do it for Steph Curry. It falls in line with the strategy of trying to maximize his window. So yes, you'd have to do it, but you know me, I just hate the thought of putting yourself in a position without good draft picks, and there's no Steph Curry here. Now, you might say, well, they'll still have Giannis. What if it goes south after, you know, Curry? You know, what if it goes south in a year or two with Giannis, and he'd want out? Now, you've not. I don't know. I don't think there's an easy answer, but I think at the end of the day, you're right. They would make this move.
I just don't see how you can. Like, the question is, if it's even going to be there in a few months,
right,
to me, more than anything else. But like, we're talking about the future. By the way, in the immediate future, we're actually going to hear from the Giants manager, Tony Vitello, in about 10 minutes. He has his introductory press conference, and so we're going to hear from him and transition away from this conversation. But you know, to me, sort of my final thought on it is, Steiny, I know we got a couple calls too. The question I have is, how much closer do you want to get to winning a championship? If you think that Giannis puts you in a better position to win a title, and I get that a lot of people feel like he may not because the vibes are good right now.
Right.
But to me, with Giannis, along with whatever else you're able to keep, you have a much better chance of beating an Oklahoma City Thunder in a 7-game series, making it through the playoffs, and hoisting a 5th championship. And that, to me, is what I'd be willing to sacrifice the long-term future for, is the best chance to win a title.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting that Butler's been here half a year. he's clearly been a catalyst for turning a 500 team into a team that's got some possibility of contending. They're 27-9 when he plays with Green and Steph. And yet, yeah, you can get Giannis in here. I'd probably trade this guy who clearly has already elevated us at least a level. So that's something that they, you know, that I just think is kind of interesting. This guy was traded for and has been a godsend. Seriously. Mike and Hayward. Hey, Mike, how you doing? How you doing, man?
Hey, good morning, you guys. Like, I'm feeling cool. Hey, you know, it's crazy what I'm hearing right now. You know, like, this trade is still open for the Warriors and then the Milwaukee Bucks. I wouldn't do it because, you know, you got this good chemistry now with Jonathan Kuminga. He's over here doing everything what the coach wanted him to do, be a teammate, pass the ball, and especially get the rebounds. You know, like, I'll be watching the game in my phone, but everybody is playing together. And even Curry, Jimmy Buckets, Draymond Green, they're not playing that much minutes because everybody's getting all the minutes. I'm sorry. Like, everybody's playing together. So I wouldn't make this trade. I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, like, if the Warriors would have started right now 0-5, yeah, you know, like, I'd probably tell myself, okay, I got to make something happen. But I wouldn't because you're getting Giannis that can't even shoot a foul two-pointer every time he goes to the line. He takes forever, though, you know? But that's just my opinion. You guys have a good one, and I love y'all's show.
Appreciate it, man. You know what? One thing that would happen is your free throw shooting percentage would probably drop significantly.
It would.
Because what's Giannis shooting this year from the line? He's shooting...
Well, his career is like in the 60s, right?
Yeah, 69.3. I actually thought it was worse than that. But he hasn't been good the last 4 years. He's been 65 or under. So
let me ask you this, Steiny.
Yeah.
How many players on the Warriors right now can go for 50 points in an elimination game?
Two tops.
Two?
Yeah.
You still think Jimmy can score 50 in an elimination game?
I'm giving him the respect. Well, I'm not robbing him of that opportunity.
Well, maybe in 2025, because apparently anybody can score 50.
That's true.
But
yeah, okay. There's one.
We've seen one do it.
All right.
Giannis would be the second. That's this is like, if there's a game where it comes down to it, and I know that the caller's, he's right. Like, 0-5, you're not doing it. You are doing it. I get that. But to me, the question is, if this is a good to great team, could you find a player that elevates them from that into becoming a legitimate championship contender? I think already people are giving them a chance. That's fair. But it's a puncher's chance. It's not like a... To me, the chance that everyone is giving the Warriors to hoist a title is purely on the shoulders of 30. It's because of Steph Curry and the closer and because of how great he still is.
No
but it's
doubt.
Not because they actually think this team is, like, altogether, in my opinion, better than OKC, Denver, whoever you want to put up there. It's because of Curry. If I'm giving him another legitimate, like, Jimmy Butler's a star. Giannis is a freaking superstar. You could make the case that he's better than Curry at this stage in his career.
Do you care that people are bringing up how Giannis's game will age?
How's Draymond's game aged?
Not bad.
How's Jimmy Butler, how's his game aged? It's aged well next to Steph.
That's true. That's true.
But how's their games aged? I mean, we talked last year all postseason about how Jimmy got absolutely fried by, pardon me, Draymond got fried by Julius Randle, about how Jimmy Butler wouldn't shoot the ball. You know, it all looks great around Curry. And I also have to imagine there might be another level of Giannis if he plays next to a guy like that.
Well, that's the part I was thinking when you said, you know, Curry's never played with anybody as good as Giannis, probably since Durant. And I was like, man, Giannis hasn't played with anybody like Steph, even close. You know what I mean?
Yeah, who's the best player he's played with?
Who was the second best player on the
Drew
Bucks
Holiday?
Champion? Yeah. You know what? And
he's a good player.
Yeah, really good player. Let's go to Nick in Ohio. Hey, Nick. How you doing, man?
Hi, guys. A lot of questions to ask. Two sides to this deal. But I would say that the
if the Warriors did go ahead, I wouldn't worry about the pick so much, because they're going to, with Giannis, they'll probably be in the finals, and they're not going to have that many great picks anyway. That being said, though, I just wanted a chance to talk about really good I feel about the Warriors this year and what they're doing and their rebounds. You notice they're getting a lot of rebounds. Their defense, if it's cold up, it's all great, you know. And who would have thought that in last game that the highest score would be Jimmy Butler with 21 points? You know, just their defense is just really plugged in, and I'm really excited about the team. But as far as Giannis, I'd love to have him, but there are, you know, some things you got to think about.
No
doubt. Anyway, love you guys.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate the call. You know, the other thing is, like, I admit these first five games, usually I wouldn't care about the first five games, but they've looked pretty good. And I think they're in I think the Warriors are in a good spot here, because, you know, the caller who said, well, if they were 0-5 right now, I'd do it. Well, if they were 0-5 right now, they probably, other teams would be looking at, but like, if they're 0-5, that means Butler hasn't been good, and it means Pods hasn't been good, probably. And like, the reason I'm becoming more intrigued with Moody, Kuminga, and Pajemski is because they're 4-1. And, you know, if they're 15-7 and then they're 25-14, then they're legitimate role players on a really good team, and then they have value.
Actually, Sonny, I'm starting to think that because of how much you would have to give up the future, and by the future, I mean like draft picks.
Yeah.
Or maybe young players. If they're not good, you don't make this trade. Because if you can't win now, how is like, to me, Giannis is the guy that you make a move for to put you over the top.
Agree.
To go from good to great, or great to elite. If you're not a good team, then you want to keep your future, because you have no reason to give it. Like, if the future looks bleak, I'm sorry, I want every first pick in the world. But if the Warriors prove that they're a player away this season, then I think that's something we got to consider.
Yeah, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. And we're going to go to the San Francisco Giants press conference with their new manager, Tony Vitello. It's supposed to start at 11, and we'll get to it when they start. We'll take it live. We'll chat about it a little bit. And then what the Giants are doing here is unprecedented. And it, to me, that makes it obviously really compelling. And I look forward to see what a college coach can do with the San Francisco Giants, because it's non-traditional and it is risky. It's risky.
Who's it riskier for? Vitello or the Giants? Or I guess
the Giants. Posey. I think it's a little bit risky for Posey.
I don't.
I mean, I it's not risky in terms of, like, if it doesn't work, he's going to get fired. I just think it might not work.
Well, it might not work, but that's why I think it's riskier for this guy. He's making an unprecedented jump, and if it doesn't work out, if the team isn't good, or if it turns out he's just not a great manager, number one, I think that closes the door for all future guys trying to do this.
Yes.
Number two, I don't think he can just go back to getting a job at the number one university, like just be able to like turn things around the way he did in Tennessee. To me, he had a very comfortable position. Like, I think he's putting himself out there, which is something that I respect a lot about him. I think that Posey, I mean, he's made a bunch of big moves already as the president of baseball ops, and he's just continuing to try and do things differently, because I think he understands that's the only way that they're going to be able to jump over a team that right now trails 3-2 in the World Series.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the press conference. I don't know anything about this guy, and the only thing he comes with is like preconceived notions about the college coach versus the pro coach. And you better hire a guy that understands the difference, and how does a guy understand the difference if he's never been at the major league level? I've talked about Mike Montgomery regarding this topic, and you know, I talked to Mike about it, and he said, yeah, you know, he didn't want to come on, but he said, no, Buster's put himself out there with this hire. That's kind of the way he put it, and he was in the exact same position 20 years ago with the Warriors, and most people would say it didn't work out well.
Can I tell you what I want to hear from this guy?
Yeah.
So a lot of people have not heard him speak a word. I think unless you watch college baseball, which there's understandably not a lot of people that are interested. This guy has to be energetic, charismatic, and to an extent magnetic, I think, in order to get this position. Like Buster Posey had to know or see something that was going to make him feel like he can own a locker room full of professionals of which he has never stepped a foot in their world before.
Energetic. What were the three?
Charismatic and magnetic. I think like those are the three traits I'm looking to hear from Vitello today, because I believe if he's to win Buster Posey, who's a true baseball, Buster Posey's got three World Series rings. Buster Posey has been the face of a franchise or a representative. He's been the best player. He also has been an accomplished college player. So he's had a great coach in college. He's had a great manager in the pros. He himself has been a great player. You can't tell me that Vitello didn't win him over with whatever we're going to hear in this press conference. That's what I believe. Because otherwise, I'm not really sure what behind the scenes, what was so appealing about this guy to make him, he wasn't the number one choice,
right?
But to make him the next best choice.
Yeah, I look at this guy and think what he needs is he better be knowledgeable and he better be authentic. Like this is what I'm excited about. I don't know anything about him. And as far as I'm concerned, kind of how he managed at Tennessee might be somewhat irrelevant because maybe he's smart enough to know that he's going to have to change some things. But I just look at a guy like him coming into a locker room with veteran type players, and I think the first thing he's got to do is get their respect. So if this guy's got any gimmick to him or any, I don't know, schmaltz if he's not real, I think the players will see through that. And that's where I get to. I can't believe Posey would make a hire unless he truly believed this guy knew what he was getting into and knew what he was going to have to do at the major league level that was maybe different than college. Like he better be open to knowing that he's got to do things differently.
Yeah, but like, he has no clue what those things are.
For example, when Rick Pitino went from Kentucky to Boston, he just couldn't do it. He was used to coaching college kids. And I'll just never forget, the Warriors were playing the Celtics back in that day, and the Celtics had Chauncey Billups. Did he end up getting into the Hall of Fame, by the way, Billups?
Chauncey?
Yeah. Anyway.
He should.
Yeah. Anyway, he was terrible under Pitino. And I remember the Warriors guy bringing it up the court, and Pitino is kneeling like he always knelt, and he's yelling at Chauncey Billups to push up on the guy, pressure him at half court, and just relentless.
He's a Hall of Famer.
And it just didn't work. He wasn't, like, nobody was really motivated under him. Everybody felt like they could see through him. And it's not like Pitino had no success in the NBA, because then he ended up coaching the Knicks, too, and they went to the playoffs. But I'm just saying, it can be dicey, obviously.
Well, D-Lew brings up a good comp, potentially, which is Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
I mean, Brad Stevens went from not even a big-time program. Butler was not a massive program. And not only was he a good head coach, he seems to be a pretty damn good front office executive. So, Vitello, I think baseball is a lot different because there's so many more things you have to be aware of. I think coaching in college for basketball, yes, you're moving from kids relatively to men, but I don't know. The thing that I guess worries me the most about this is that my biggest concern is that it could be Posey's Kapler hire. Like Farhan hired Kapler because he was different and because he was aesthetically pleasing, right? He talked a good game. He made you feel like he knew what he was talking about. He had an answer for every question. He always had the right answer. But clearly there was just something amiss. Like by the end of his time here, it was very clear he didn't know how to connect with his players.
No doubt.
And that can't be the same thing with Vitello. I've heard, it sounds like he's a little different.
All right, here we go. This is Tony Vitello, live press conference. He's the new manager of the San Francisco Giants.
Today, I'd like to welcome everyone with us here at Oracle Park, as well as those watching on sfgiants.com, sfgigantes.com, the Giants YouTube channel, NBC Sports Bay Area, and those listening on KNBR. Last week, the Giants officially announced that Tony Vitello has been named the 40th manager in Giants history. Tony, welcome to San Francisco.
Thank you.
It's a privilege to have you. Let's.
We'll take it.
It's a privilege to have you, your parents, Greg and Kathleen, your sisters, Christine, Kara, and Katie, your brother-in-law, Rich, your nieces and nephew, and other members of your family and friends here today. Also with us today on the dais is Giants President of Baseball Operations, Buster Posey, and Giants General Manager, Zach Manassian. I'd also like to recognize in attendance Giants Chairman, Greg Johnson, Giants President, Larry Bear, and members of the Giants front office that are here today. Also, we have the three Kuiper brothers I would like to acknowledge. Jeff, Dwayne, and Glenn are here today. Welcome, you guys. And now it's my pleasure to turn things over to Buster Posey.
Thanks, Matt. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here today. Today is a very exciting day for our organization as we welcome Tony as the new manager of the San Francisco Giants. You know, when we first started talking to Tony, it was abundantly clear that he was a natural leader. Wide range of topics, and I think some highlights that I came away with from those conversations were, you know, some of his vision, his conciseness, and plenty of other leadership qualities. I think where it really took off for me is when you start making phone calls and you talk to so many different people that have come into contact with him for years and years and been in his world, and you start to hear some of the attributes. And conversely, Tony had a lot of conversations with people in our own organization, and the feedback was all the same. The response was, this guy's a winner. He has a vision to be great, and not just for himself, that's going to rub off on those around him. There's an expectation that he'll get the best from everybody that he comes into contact with. You know, Tony's a teacher, he's a motivator, a tireless worker, and someone who understands how to build culture. We believe his leadership is not only going to impact our clubhouse, but it's also going to impact our organization and our entire fan base as well. Thrilled to have Tony as our manager. High confidence that together we can build something really special here in San Francisco. And so now it's my pleasure to introduce Tony Vitello as the next manager of the San Francisco Giants.
Thank you, sir. We gonna mess up that hair?
I think we should. A little more comfortable.
Tony?
Yeah. Obviously, thank you to Buster, to Zach, to Greg Johnson, Larry, all the ownership, really all the organization, and I know players' feedback was important. That's kind of where my whole deal has started, is with players. Gavin Keelan, who some of you may know, was fortunate enough to be a first-round pick here, and that's where some of those conversations exist between the college level and the pro level. And obviously something all those players are aspiring to do is make it to the big leagues. And as this process has gone on, it's been funny. I've gotten a lot of text messages about living out your dream, or somebody said, you know, when you have baseball cards when you're little, which I still have some. I don't know if they're worth anything or not, but, you know, did you dream, or you dreamed of being this? I never dreamed of being a Major League Baseball player. I don't know why. My skill level wasn't very high. I think it was just so far above the clouds that I never even saw it. And for me as a coach, I was just kind of trying to make my way. I got thrust into a position at a young age that I probably didn't even deserve. So I was just trying to do a good job. And fortunately, it helped get me to the next spot and the next spot and the next spot. And eventually, this did become a dream where I just kind of decided if it was, you know, if I was blessed enough to receive an opportunity, this is something I wanted to do before I was done coaching, you know, in general. And now I'm incredibly humbled and blessed to do so. So it is a dream come true, but it's a very recent dream. It wasn't one I had for a while. And as much as I'd love to sit up here and promise things and pound my fist on the desk and all that, and really all I want to do is a good job. And I think because of being around my dad and being blessed around winning players similar to Buster, those standards are very high. And I have spent some, I know it'll be a question later, I have some spent some time around this organization, either as a fan or just watching, or again through business ways. I'm fully aware of the tradition that's here and the excellence that's been brought by managers like Bochy, Dusty Baker, the toughness from guys like Baumgartner and Romo, the loyalty, which is incredibly important, you know, word to me and my family, which is epitomized by the guy to my right, and, you know, the records that have been set by guys like Bonds and Mays and Linscomb and everybody else. And then, you know, the one thing that always got to me was the family, the sense of family that was a part of this organization. And one of the players I coached came up during Hunter Pence's playing days and just talked about how good that guy was to everybody in the organization, especially younger aspiring players and rookies. So there's a lot to learn from the past, and there is very high expectations, very high standards to meet because of the past. And this is a challenge that's been presented to me, and again, I'm humbled and honored to be here in front of you today to take on that challenge.
Okay, thanks, Tony. With that, we will open it up to questions for the media.
You're listening to the Tony Vitello press conference with the San Francisco Giants. He's their new manager, and we're bringing it to you live.
Hello, Tony. Welcome to the Bay.
Thank you.
Now, you've coached college. You haven't played, coached, or managed in the big leagues. 56 games versus 162 plus spring training and whatever happens in October. But Buster and Tony, have you talked about how different this will be in terms, we've seen how emotional and passionate you are at the college level. Can you transfer that to this 162 game grind, or will you have to tone it down a little bit? What's the conversation between you two on that front?
I think if you ask my mom, she'd want me to tone it down. But if you ask my dad, he'd say kick it up a notch, you know. I think it is completely different. There's obviously, we didn't waste any time. We got to the first question that everybody was maybe thinking and should ask. And it is very different. So I think the one thing about each game unto itself, whether it's high school, college, or pro, is it's kind of got its own personality, its own flavor. And you have to adapt to that particular day, especially in our sport. I mean, the one common theme that I always, you know, when I first started coaching that I didn't like is when you win, or I'm sorry, you lose, you know, 9-6, it's the pitching let us down. And then when you lose 3-2, it's, you know, pitchers did their job, but the hitters didn't hit. You win and lose as a team. And every game, for whatever reason, kind of has its own vibe to it. And I feel every day is like that too. And whether it's 162, 56, or whatever, baseball is a sport that is built on sample size, and you have to be willing to separate each one as a mutually exclusive one and attack it for what it is at that particular time. So I wish I had an answer in my own head, to be honest with you, because as I first got here, I was like, man, there are a lot of unknowns and just a lot of wonder in my mind. And of course, you can ask people and draw on previous information, but until you live it out, you don't know what it's going to be like.
Sorry, Matt. John Shea, San Francisco Standard. Sorry about that. And just one more. Buster, when Gabe Kapler was here, it seems like there was a massive collaboration on how the in-game game planning and strategizing was going to come down, whether it's the bullpen moves or the lineups or anything like that. Maybe not so much with Bob Melvin. What's it going to be like now? How much will the front office be involved in the analytics department and scouting and everything else with the game-to-game, with the day-to-day planning, including in-game strategizing?
I think it remains to be seen. Some of it will just evolve naturally as we spend more time around each other and the staff is built out. You know, the way I look at our role is we're evaluating so many different departments across the organization. But as much as anything, the way I see us is a support system to get Tony and his staff information. We can be a sounding board. We can be think partners as well. As Tony mentioned, you know, from my experience, any great team that I've been a part of, people are pulling in the same direction, and that's the hope and the expectation here is, you know, we're all going to be working together. Does that mean that we're going to have perfect harmony all the time? No, I mean it doesn't. But there's going to be things that we all continue to learn and grow together as we go through this.
We're here on the right, Mark.
Hey, Tony. Mark Willard, 95.7 The Game. Just kind of building on your previous answer, kind of person to person, I wonder if you have any concerns with the idea of kind of the energy that you would use for a college player. Like, does that work for someone who might be in their 30s and has, you know, kids at home? Like, do you have to, from that level, kind of adjust your style or how will you go about kind of addressing that?
Yeah, I think one thing we did well at the places I've been, in particular Tennessee, was coach guys as individuals. You know, I've always used the example in recruiting. You turn on a TV and watch a big league game, whether it's last night or, you know, you're watching the Giants play the Padres, you're going to see 9 different stances, 4 or 5 different deliveries and things like that. So it's not an exact parallel, but just kind of use an example of it's got to be individualistic. I mean, some of these guys are, you know, guys that I've recruited, and, you know, I don't know what the punishment running is, but Bryce said no to Tennessee when I was there, so we'll have a separate conversation. But no, he's a great kid, but he's, to be honest with you, he's exactly what I just got done doing a week ago. And then you know, climb the ladder and you get to a guy like Justin Verlander or a Max Scherzer or somebody like that. I think those conversations are completely different. So it's an easy answer to say it's individualistic because it's kind of vague, but that's truly what it is. And then falling back on my other answer, I do think you got to come to the office and vibe it out. I think some of those conversations are a lot easier when things are going good. And when they're not, you know, Buster just kind of got done commenting on, we'll all work together. The whole goal is to create a bond here between everybody at the top all the way down to whatever you consider, you know, the bottom of the depth chart, and all have a bond strong enough that when Alex Gordon hits a triple, everybody's still on the same page and willing to get through that moment and come out victorious. I was at that game, by the way, behind home plate. It was rather intense. Correct?
Yeah, I'll second that. It was.
Let's go right here to the right.
Hi, Tony. Justice De Los Santos, San Jose Mercury News. Question for Buster as well as Zach. When did the idea of first considering Tony come to mind? And following that first consideration, how did the process of wanting to interview him and get to know him more, how did that process evolve? And kind of for Zach as well, like, what were your first maybe questions?
Yeah, well, I'll start because I'll give Zach credit. He was the one who first had the thought. I think that's credit, right? Yeah. But no, it's so I don't remember the exact time, but you know, once the season was over, you know, started having conversations, pretty casual to start with. A unique thing about this process was, and it's one thing that I've come to really appreciate about Tony, and honestly made me feel more confident in this decision, is this guy was he was hard to get a hold of because he was on the field all the time, or he was bouncing from city to city recruiting. And just because this was on his plate, he was still full go with what his job was at Tennessee. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for that. I wish it was easier to get in contact with you during those times sometimes. but it's so, yeah, that's a little bit of how it played out. Zach, you feel free to add on to that.
Yeah, I would just say, as much as this feels out of the box, Tony's name has been bouncing around Major League Baseball for a while. Fortunate to sit in the draft room, and Tennessee's program has been top-notch, which means there's a lot of good players that we're talking about year in and year out. I've been fortunate to go watch them, and I think just the nature of this job is you're always evaluating everything. Not necessarily sitting here 3 years ago watching Tennessee play and Gilbert in center field and Dolander pitching, saying one day we're going to hire Tony as a manager, but you get a sense of how he goes about it, his passion, his intellect, his care. I mean, he talks a lot about family, and those are things that we talk about. But I think starting the process, you really want to try and build as big a list as you can. There's a lot of talented people out there. And as we started to go through it and started to go through it, I felt like we kept coming back to this one would be really interesting. And it just got even more and more interesting as we continue to speak.
You're listening to the Tony Vitello press conference. He's the new manager of the San Francisco Giants on 95.7 The Game.
San Francisco.
Thank you.
So baseball, this is the hard question. Baseball's a dues-paying culture. They say if you didn't ride the bus in the minors, you can't get to the show. So you haven't. So I'm wondering, have you reached out to those veterans, the Willie Adamases, the Matt Chapmans, the Rafi Devers, to suss them out and earn their credibility or respect?
More just touching base, and pretty cool that some of those guys beat me to the punch and reached out to me first, but just some casual going back and forth. And I think that's where the conversations have started to this point. I think it's, you know, normally it's recruiting in college. You're going to see people face to face. I think it's good that there's some time between now and spring training for me to maybe go out, and wouldn't be able to do it with the whole roster, but spend some time face to face with those guys, and you know, earn their trust, or you know, their respect in a different way, because I can't go back in time and, you know, be a switch hitter, or you know, be a catcher or anything like that. So but I am very sensitive, with all due respect to the phrase pay your dues, because like the other coaches in our league and across the country, Yusavich is, you know, Cliff Godwin is the coach at East Carolina. He reached out last night because Max and Yusavich are embracing. It's a lot of lonely nights in a hotel, and it's a lot of phone calls, and it's a lot of text messages. It's hearing no just as much as maybe an insurance salesman or whoever else, or maybe a reporter looking for an interview that hears a no. So dues have come in a different way, and, you know, hopefully respect will be earned, you know, in different ways. And the only way I know how to do that is through hard work.
All right. There was a good portion of the Tony Vitello press conference. He's the new manager of the San Francisco Giants. And we're going to take a break here. And on the other side, we're going to be joined by somebody who knows Tony Vitello extremely well. Knoxville radio host who has a personal relationship with him. So looking forward to that. We'll come back and talk about the press conference on the other side.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson, and we just heard from Tony Vitello. He's the new manager of the San Francisco Giants. Holding a press conference as we speak, but we're efforting Tony Baselio, and he is a sports talk radio host in Knoxville at 105.7. Knows Tony Vitello extremely well. Pretty much worked with him in Tennessee, And don't forget, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's visit with Tony Baselio. Tony, thanks for joining us on such short notice. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure. I was laying down to take a nap, and then I realized that Tony was doing his press conference. I just got done doing my show, and you guys know how this is. People probably listening going, what do you guys do for a Hey, it's pretty tiring doing what we do, but yeah, I appreciate you guys inviting me back.
All right, how's Tony Vitello, who's never had any managerial experience in the big leagues or played, how's the adjustment going to be for him, and what kind of person is he to handle the adjustment he's looking at?
I've never met a guy as humble as him, had the kind of success around here or anywhere as he's had. Tony's a guy that would take time and make time for as many people as he possibly could. He's a guy who espouses and then lives up to the philosophy that I'm not your head coach, we're all teammates. I've never seen him throw anybody under the bus, though they deserve to get thrown under the bus in the media. I know he handles things behind closed doors professionally. Obviously, he's got a very, and he and I share the same kind of Italian heritage sort of thing, which made us pretty unique in this neck of the woods, which is something we sort of bonded over. Tony is a high vision guy. Tony is a highly emotionally intelligent person. He's a great room reader. He will not go in there acting like he's all that in a bag of chips. He will be deferential toward those veterans, and he will surround himself with quality people. And I think that if ever there was a guy in the college game worth taking a risk on, it is this guy at this point in time for the Giants.
Well, Tony, I'm not sure if you had a chance to catch some of the press, but one thing that stood out to me was, like you mentioned, just his humility. And I thought an authentic sort of first message was going to be important, especially for a lot of people out here in San Francisco who just are not very familiar with him. But also for people that have seen him, that understand how energetic and exuberant he can be on the field, you know, that tempered form of him, how quickly do you think it changes when he gets between the lines?
No. I watched the press conference. That's Tony. What you saw today is Tony. Don't get me wrong. He burns hot. He'll scream at umpires. He'll fight for his kids and fight for his team and fight for his players. But he's not going to fight with them. And I think that's a side. I think Tony gets this rap of being somebody that's going to fight with us. He's not that type of guy. We're all going to pull in the same direction. I'll take the hits for you in the media. I'm a big boy. I'm telling you, if anybody can pull this off, it's him. Now, the question obviously is, how much respect is he going to garner within that locker room? And are those guys at that level going to give him a chance? Because if they give him a chance and they put a decent enough team around him, I think he'll do a nice job there. But obviously, that is a huge question as to how he'll be received and how both sides will work with each other. I'll tell you this, though. Tony is what you saw up there, the self-deprecating guy that you saw, the humble guy. That is exactly who he is. And he's the same guy he was when he came here and they were playing in front of 15 people. I mean, I kid you not. They had like 30 fans in the stands. And then when they built him $150 million stadium here, he's the same guy. The absolute same guy.
We're talking to Tony Baselio. He works on Knoxville's 105.7. Very familiar with the new Giants manager, Tony Vitello. What does he hang his hat on baseball-wise? What are his strong beliefs? Not so much his temperament or, you know, how he's personality-wise, but what does he believe leads to successful baseball?
He's a preparation guy.
Okay.
That's Tony's language. Tony is, and you heard him say this, but nobody outworked this guy on the recruiting trail. and he will be open to anything that can help him win. Tennessee's one of the few teams in college baseball that really adhered to analytics, but he wasn't afraid to deviate from it when it didn't make sense to him, which is why it's going to be interesting to watch him sort of navigate the Major League Baseball waters. And I know that the Giants are coming out of an era where, you know, they were really given into that, into analytics, and now they're going to try and blend the two. It seems like, anyway, I'm not going to speak for them, but it looks like that's their plan on the front end. And as Buster Posey said, we're going to kind of figure it out as we go along. Tony's a really good and a really interesting candidate to try that with, because that's what he did here. He's a people reader, but he's not afraid to rely on the data. But he's also not afraid to play a hunch as well. So, and you guys will second guess him like I did. Listen, I roughed him up some on the air here, but he always came back. He always answered texts. He always answered phone calls. And so he's got thick enough skin to handle it.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, Tony, because I feel like there's this image of the modern-day manager as just being basically an extension of the front office, right? As someone who is there to enact what, whether it's Posey or Manazzi and the general manager, want to do on the field. And that's kind of where two managers ago, someone like Gabe Kapler ran into trouble, I think, with a lot of fans. So it sounds like what you're saying is that Tony is a perfect sort of mix, is someone that is willing to work with both sides. But how much day-to-day sort of hands-on do you think he's going to be allowed to be at the big league level when he does have an understanding kind of the both human and analytic aspect of things?
You guys could answer that way more than I could. I don't even feel like that's in my purview. Look, I'm a Phillies fan, and if anybody could screw up, it's a perfect thing. It's the Phillies. But that said, I just, as I watched that press conference and I watched him interface with Buster, I kind of got what they're going for. But the big question is, can they do it? Can you marry the two? Can you mix and match? Can you take two styles and put them together? Because if you can and they're successful doing it, then maybe he opens the door for other college guys to come in, because it seems to me that Major League Baseball has taken some of the things that college baseball sort of introduced, these celebration props after you hit a home run, the more exuberance on the field. Those things were not done 4 or 5 years ago, showing a little more personality out there, that sort of thing. And so I don't know. It's just going to be really interesting because, again, I go back to this. I'll tell you a quick story. I told, when Tony first got that job, he brought me over there and said, hey, man, I need to fill this place. And I said, yeah, you and everybody else that I've ever talked to that's had this job, good luck to you. And he looked at me and he said, no, we're going to fill this place. And I said, Tony, unless you have like Kenny Chesney come do a post-game concert or put pro wrestling in the outfield, or you're not going to fill the place. And he said, we're going to fill the place. And the thing I learned about him that day was he was giving me like vision, and he filled the place. I mean, filled the place. And the thing he's going to do with the fan base is that, and obviously you're always going to have people that are going to be critical of everything you do. It's baseball is a great game for second guessing. Tony's going to be a guy that's going to be able to win people over when he appears in front of a camera. When he talks to you guys, you're going to see that he's just kind of a real guy. He's a guy that likes his UFC. He's a guy that likes a good spaghetti meal. He's a guy that likes a good concert. You know, he's just kind of a real dude compared to a Gabe Kapler type, right, who, yeah, God knows what he was into.
Yeah. Hey, Tony, last, how many times was he ejected in 8 years at Tennessee?
You know, that's a good question. He took a few showers, you know, and the other thing that he did, which I think is kind of great, is he's like a world-class guy when it comes to profanity. And people that sat it down low at Tennessee games really learned some new words. And you know, guys, you guys know this better than anybody. the major league umpires, that's probably one area of his game that he's going to have to amend, because you can't speak to a major league umpire the same way you spoke to those college guys. There's no way that's going to work.
That's a great point.
Hey, Tony, thank you so much for – I'm sorry. Yeah, Tony. Tony Baselio joining us from Knoxville. Real quick, do I detect some Philly, South Jersey in that accent?
You got it, brother.
All right, where?
Well, I'm from the Kennett Square area, okay. So I'm right outside the city. But my father was a mushroom grower, and he told me when I was a kid, he said, son, you're not going to work in this business. You're lazy. You need to go work with your mouth because you have a big one.
Please don't tell me he was a mushroom farmer in Reading, Pennsylvania. Just don't.
No, okay. In Kennett Square. Kennett Square, Pennsylvania.
All right. Well, I'm from Reading, and we appreciate
you
your time.
Brother.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know what you know what they call us? They call us survivors that got out of there.
Yeah, well, I still have some love for the hometown, but
yeah,
I'm never going back.
All right,
buddy.
It's always in your heart. All right, guys.
Thank you, man. Really appreciate it. All right, we're going to go right to break here on 95.7 The Game. That segment was brought to you by Frontier Ford. Lease a 2025 Mustang Mach-E Premium with extended range for just $299 a month at Frontier Ford. Hundreds of new and pre-owned Fords in stock and ready to roll. Find Frontier Ford on Stevens Creek in Santa Clara or online at frontierford.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.